us already. I'm James. I'm married to Lucy, and I work with Rich. Rich is going to share after me. We've got 15 minutes each to unpack a verse from the Bible together, and try and not see it as like a head-to-head. These things are sort of different perspectives to allow God to speak to us in different ways. And I guess that's our prayer tonight for all of us, myself included, that each of us could go away saying, God spoke to me tonight. I heard Jesus. In whatever way it comes, that is our hope and prayer for everybody gathered in this room tonight. So it's a lot of fun to be part of this church. I came as a student in 2008, and I absolutely loved it. University was the highlight of my education experience, and it was just such fun. Met such wonderful people who've inspired me to become the person I am today. And a big part of my university experience was being rooted in a local church and just really giving my all and for it. Lots of fun. And that's just kind of, we love students here in this church. So if you're a student, a huge welcome to you. And we love students. Why we love students is because we believe that there's God's doing something amazing with students, particularly in this city, but across the nation as well. We believe that these are the most unreached people in the nation, but if somehow, some way, God moved amongst students, a revival started, if people got a passion to be rooted and established in the Word of God and understand the power of God, the potential to see this nation and the nations transformed would be ridiculous. So we love students, we love having you in the building, we love sending you out to all the different spheres of our city and commissioning at the end. So if you're a student, a huge welcome to you. It is a privilege to have you here. Here's what we're doing tonight. Here's a big idea that we've been given. The theme of the evening, thanking God for people, particularly people in our lives. And just an opening question, just to kind of get us going. Do you find it easy to make friends? Because some of us will. Some of us will find it really easy. Some of us will find it actually quite hard. And it's not an introvert, extrovert thing. There's more to it at play than that. Personalities, chemistry. It might be a language thing. You might have just arrived in a new city and you're thinking, I don't know if I have friends yet. Or you might be a young adult at work thinking, I don't even know where to make friends outside of work. You know, it's really easy for some. It's difficult for others. You might have a group chat already, you've just arrived in the city, and it is buzzing with things to do and people to see. Or it might be really hard, but our prayer this evening is one of thankfulness to God for the people that he has placed in our lives, whoever they are. We're going to thank God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the theme of welcome in September. We welcomed Jesus as a church into our lives. And then we looked last week particularly at continuous prayer. And lots of people were responding to all sorts of stuff as we anointed people. It was really amazing to see. And that's what we've been doing. We're moving into now a month of thankfulness. And thankfulness for people is our opening theme for October. And thankfulness, it's got me thinking, it's more than just assigning credit where credit is due to a person. Thankfulness, it really does change us. There's something about it that moves us on the inside. It's more as well than just naive optimism, like a rewiring our brain to think of always the glass is half full. Look, we've got half a full glass of water. It's not half empty. It's more than that. It does something to us on the inside, and especially when we thank God. Now, I'm on a bit of a journey with this. I find thank yous easy sometimes, hard on other times. I find it really hard to say thank you when it's for a job that I could have done anyway. Like, if someone brings me a cup of tea and I'm like, you've done it wrong, you've not quite got it right, so do I say thank you or not? It's kind of like, cheers, I guess. Am I on my own with that? I'm on my own with that, okay. It's my issue. I'll get prayer at the end. You guys are great. And maybe you might describe yourself as a naturally grumpy person. You know, maybe you're northern and just think, or it's just your face. That's how your face rests. It sort of rests in an upside down smile. Really, you're happy on the inside. It's just your exterior doesn't let it show. And but the thing about thankfulness is it's not really about us, particularly when we're thanking God. It's about the Holy Spirit doing something in our lives, opening us up to say thank you, because that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. If you've never heard about the Holy Spirit before, we believe God is three in one, this wonderful relational being that is God. And it's not like the three separate things. It's more like a dance, and they're so close together, you can't quite see one without seeing a glimpse of the other as well. And the Holy Spirit's at play with Jesus and the Father. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. When we see more of Jesus and then more of God, and all of a sudden we're beginning to give thanks as we get revelation. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will guide us into truth. In another one of the letters in the Bible, it says the Spirit searches out everything and shows us the hidden mysteries of God, the depths of God. We see more of him and we are thankful in response as we get this revelation of who God is. The Spirit draws us close to God, and thanksgiving begins to open us up as we connect. It says in the Bible also, we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Thankfulness is more than just credit where credit is due. There's something deeply spiritual about it, profoundly changing us when we begin to adopt those habits. Now, I'm going to focus particularly now on this big idea, thankfulness to God for people in our lives. And we're looking tonight at one particular bit of the Bible, and it is Philemon. And we've had a bit of a discussion as a team. How do you pronounce this word? Because none of us really know how to do it. And it's not because we've not put the effort in. We have Googled like you've never believed to try and find out how do you pronounce this thing. Is it Philemon or Philemon or Philemon? We don't know. So if you know, please come let us know at the end. All opinions are welcome. But that's what we're looking at tonight. It's going to appear on the screen behind me. It's one part of the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read these out for us to consider this evening. This is Paul's words to Philemon, or Philemon. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, a bit of context about this letter. Paul and Philemon are clearly friends. This relationship has been building up over years, and it seems that Paul is particularly fond of the time spent with this guy. What we know is they sort of met around Ephesus, and Philemon, like Paul, was a Roman citizen. And Philemon encountered Jesus through what Paul was up to, sharing and demonstrating the signs and wonders of God. Talking about the love of God, Philemon became a Christian. He was a wealthy guy, and he opened up his home, and a church started to grow in his house. And what we know about this in this letter is that Philemon, as a rich, wealthy Roman guy, he had slaves. And one of those guys was, Rich will pronounce it better than I, Onesimus, or Onesimus was his name. And that was one of his slaves. And something happened. There was a conflict. And Onesimus ran away from Philemon. And as Onesimus ran away from Philemon, he encountered Paul somewhere in prison. And Onesimus also encountered the love of God and became a Christian as well. And then they had this conversation about where he's come from and what he's up to. And Paul said, I'm going to send you back. We're going to go back to Philemon and resolve this conflict. We're going to rebuild this friendship. And so here's the scandal in the letter, because Philemon, as a Roman citizen who's been wronged, was well within his rights to have this man arrested. And Paul is writing to say, would you not just take Onesimus back and receive him into his former position in your house as a slave? But would you welcome him as you would welcome me? As a brother, as a friend, as part of the church, as the family of God. It is scandalous, not just as a family member, but the whole society would have seen that is just not the way of doing things. It's a transformed way of seeing what community could look like in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus gets our lives in this way, it's costly, but it's absolutely brilliant. On hearing that, something inside us comes alive. That is the way it should have been. That is what radical community can look like. And the Holy Spirit can help us build relationships just like that. Friendships that strengthen us, that bring out the best in one another. Friendships like Paul and Philemon, who they're not afraid to ask the tough questions of one another. There's a love there, a commitment to one another, but a commitment that brings out the best, that wants to address this thing and not just duck the difficult conversation. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he sent Onesimus back to him to be not just restored, but received as a brother. And we too can have friendships like that. And ultimately, where you find friendships like that is in the church. It's a brilliant place, not just in this building, but when men and women of faith who are understanding the ways of God, who have embraced the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is moving in their lives, and they begin to draw out the best in one another, encourage each other, cheer each other on when it's going well, and stand with each other when it's not going well. That's where church is. That could be in our halls of residences. That can be in our workplaces, in our schools. There's something of the Holy Spirit at work in our community that just, that is church. That is what it can look like. And we're getting a glimpse of that in this letter. And the church is a brilliant place to make friends, just like that. And the church is full of people who are like us and who are not like us. Every color, creed, and race is gathered in the church across the world. It's one of its greatest strengths and challenges sometimes, because we don't understand each other, as language is an issue, as we learn to bear with one another in confusion sometimes. But there's a commitment to love because we're part of the same family. And God's vision for our lives sometimes is far bigger than we can see. So we need one another to stand together, to call out each other when we're not doing our best, and to cheer each other on so we can do even more. Sometimes we need friends like Paul to Philemon in this letter, who can ask us the difficult question. Often they're people who are in our lives already, people who know us the best and love us the most, and have seen us in our finest hour, and have seen us in our lowest moments. Those friends who stand by us and want to see us grow no matter what. And if you don't yet have one of those friends, that's okay. You might have just arrived in this city, but be praying. God, show me, who am I supposed to journey with while I'm in this city? Who is it at work that you're drawing me to, who I can get alongside and encourage, and who can encourage me? Who can I be a friend to? Maybe you've not got a list yet of two or three people who could hold you to accountable, help you raise your game, help you follow Jesus more closely. Maybe you don't have those people in your lives yet. That's okay. Be that kind of friend to people around you. Look out for opportunities to encourage, to challenge, not just for challenge's sake, but challenge with a commitment of grace and love, not just to see justice happen, but that the grace of God might work its way out in our midst, in our community, with that bedrock of love for one another. Now, just going to finish by telling a story, really, about prayer, and then I'm going to hand over to Rich, and he's going to carry this on. The reason I'm going to tell this story is because I'm beginning to ask, what does this life actually look like worked out? It's all good just talking about it, but what does it actually look like 9 to 5 in a student's life or in a young professional's life or a youth's life? What does this life of thankfulness to God for our friends actually look like? And a couple of years ago, I met a student here in this room. We were stood in the middle. His name was Sasha, and he was in his final year of his degree, and he'd gone home for Christmas and was talking to his family, saying he was a bit nervous about coming back and doing his finals. And his grandparents encouraged him, just said, hey, why don't you just check out a church? Sasha didn't go to church, didn't believe in God, but his grandparents did, and they just said, why don't you? You know, they're really helpful sometimes. Just check it out, see if they can encourage you at all. So Sasha, just off a whim, really, just off that one conversation at Christmas, came to church and got the best welcome we could possibly offer. We just hello, how are you doing? Very simple. And told us that story. And it was great. And, you know, didn't expect anything to come off it. And then next week, Sasha came back again. And this time, he'd brought his grandparents. And here's what happened. In that week, he'd gone home and said to his grandparents, I tried out church. It was great. And they went, oh, really? Oh, cool. Which one did you go to? Oh, that sounds interesting. Great. Do you mind, if you ever go again, do you mind if we come with you? And they lived near Sussex, I think. So that's maybe near Eastbourne on the south of Watford. They lived south of Watford. And I'm thinking, wow, all of a sudden they just dropped what they were doing and came to come to church with their grandson. And then we got to meet them here that Sunday. And there was one moment in the gathering, they just leaned over and went, James, we've been praying for this moment for 21 years. And I'm like, wow, I'm only 21. I've no idea what it's like. I was then, not now. I have no idea what it's like to pray for so long for something to happen and to be ready in a moment when God answers it to say yes. Now, in that story, it was a grandparent to a grandchild. So you can begin to imagine, actually, you know, I've struggled to pray for the day ahead sometimes and for my sins, to thank God for my breakfast. Although we do always thank God for our dinner. I don't know why we do that. Sometimes I forget to pray, but they'd prayed for their grandchild for 21 years. And in a moment, God had answered a prayer and they said yes, cleared the diary and came because they wanted to be a part of what God was doing in someone in their lives. Now, I wonder if there's an encouragement and a challenge in that for us all this evening. Are we praying for our friends? Are we thanking God that they're in our lives? Are we thanking God for our family? And then, what if God moved? What if God just went above and beyond what we could ask or imagine in our family's lives? Would we be ready? What does a life like that look like? Just going to give a moment of quiet, just 10 seconds. What is God saying to you through what we've heard already? And then Rich is going to come up and carry on.
That was a great thought from James. And I'm just going to continue looking at that those two verses in Philemon. I've decided to go for. Hopefully, I'll continue saying that all the way through, but don't pull me up if I don't. I'm Rich. I'm from Liverpool, so got the beautiful Scouse accent for the next 15 minutes. So, I lead the student stuff alongside James. So we're having so much fun doing it. We're seeing God do lots in that, and we're really excited for what God's going to do for the rest of the term. We're just going to look again. I know we've already looked at it, but if we just remind ourselves of the verse again, it is, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And James did a great job of giving the context of that as well, that about Philemon and Onesimus. And basically, what I'm kind of going to look at is why Paul decides to put that thanksgiving at the start of this letter to an old friend to appeal to him about Onesimus sending him back. Why does Paul put this thanksgiving right at the start of the letter before he's about to speak to one of his old friends, before he's about to start this kind of dialogue up again, sending one of his close disciples back to Philemon? Why does he decide to put thanksgiving at the start? And just looking at three different truths that I've just pulled out of that about how thanksgiving affects us and what thanksgiving does when we do it. So the first of those is thanksgiving never stops. So Paul met Philemon years and years ago, and then loads of things happen since, and he's in prison, comes across Onesimus, finds out he was once a slave, had wronged Philemon, and then wants to send him back. And Paul says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. So this is like years and years gone, and he's still thanking God for what God's doing in Philemon's life years and years later. And sometimes we can think thanksgiving it is great to thank God for what happened today, but also we can thank God for what happened years and years ago with friends, what God's continually doing with things. And we do that with anniversaries and birthdays. We continually celebrate what God's doing with us, and what kind of there's a maturing in thankfulness as you thank God every single day or every single year. And actually, I would say that if we truly embrace thankfulness as kind of Paul has done in this, that it actually doesn't just keep us stuck in the past, that it propels us into the future. And just a story from my own life in that is that last year I was reflecting on our pizza gathering, which we had this week, which was amazing. But last year we decided to do worship in the pizza gathering, which we hadn't done before. It was a bit of a brave decision. We decided to do it. And actually from having worship at that pizza gathering, a third year student brought her friend along, and she ended up becoming a Christian at the end of the year. And just before the pizza gathering, or a few weeks before, I spoke to that student, and we were just reminding ourselves about what God did last year. And that thankfulness propelled us into this year and kind of pushed us forward and go, why don't we try worship again? Why don't we see what happens? And actually, during the worship time in the pizza gathering this year, God did loads again. And there's stories coming out of our ears at the moment about what God's doing in worship times on that one night. So actually, it's a thing of, and I think Paul kind of experiences this, that he remembers Philemon and his prayers. He continually thanks God, and that propels him into thankfulness and seeing God move today. The second kind of thing to pull from this is thankfulness or thanksgiving positions us for relationship. So Paul is, again, hasn't spoken to Philemon for years and years, and he decides to start this entire interaction with thanksgiving. That's how he positions himself for this dialogue. And it's a bit of a hard conversation he's having with a friend. He's saying, do you know that slave that wronged you, stole from you, receive him back as a Christian brother and receive him back as an equal. So it's not exactly like he's going down to the pub with Philemon and having a great chat. It's a challenge. And actually, he's positioning himself with thanksgiving for Philemon at the beginning of that. And actually, this was quite a big challenge for me, reading this, because whether it's the lecturer that really annoys you, or there's the boss at work that never listens to you, or there's someone at school that always annoys you, that actually when you decide to position yourself with thanksgiving towards those people, it completely changes your heart and completely changes the situation. And that's what I found I did STC college, and during that year I worked in the co-op, and I found out that my Weetabix stacking skills was not on par. But it wasn't the most interesting job, and let's just say the managers were quite interesting people. However, I was challenged by God during that year to put thankfulness first, and that actually changed the way I did it, the way I viewed my job, the way I viewed the Weetabix that I was stacking every single day. And actually, when I go back now, there's still things to be thankful for. People ask me, how's it going at the church? What's God up to? They're not quite like coming to church yet, but actually God has used me in that situation to have those conversations. So actually there is something to still be thankful for, even now. And just one last thing about what thanksgiving teaches us in this is that thanksgiving restores our faith in God. And actually, if you look at the word that Paul used when he says thanks, it comes from two Greek words, which mean good and grace. So basically what he's saying is, I thank God for his good grace in your life, Philemon. That was a bit of a tongue twister. But that's kind of what he's saying. He's actually, that thankfulness isn't just towards Philemon, it's actually towards God. That word is positioned towards God. And I think, as well as positioning ourselves towards others in relationship, there's a positioning of ourselves to God in thankfulness. And in some ways, that's what we do every time we have communion. We remind ourselves of what Jesus did on that cross for us. And sometimes when I do that, it just breaks me. Because when we truly remind ourselves and bring ourselves in thankfulness and gratitude to what Jesus did for us on that cross and that he rose again on the third day, it just completely changes us. And actually, that changes the way we do things. That changes our day. There was a thing that happened the other day that kind of, I didn't even expect it to, but actually brought me kind of to thankfulness to God. And I was in Liverpool speaking to a chaplain there at the university, and I'd had coffee with him, great coffee shop. We walked out the coffee shop, and he got talking to this homeless woman, and they just had a normal conversation. And then at the end of the conversation, the chaplain asked the homeless woman, do you want to come back for mine to take for tea tonight? And I'll be honest, the initial reaction to me was, and this is a bit bad, I'll have to take it to the cross, but why would you invite a dirty homeless person to your house? Like, that's, honestly, that was the initial reaction in my heart. And God just spoke to me in that moment, and he shocked me, and he challenged me. And he says, that's exactly what I did with you. And that's what the cross was. That's what Jesus did. He had that conversation with us. He opened that dialogue. And he came to me when I was dirty, when I was in rags, when I didn't deserve it. And he said, do you want to come for tea tonight? And in that moment, I was like, thank you, God. So that's the thing. Even in the small moments, that there's chances to look for thankfulness for what God does and what God has done, and what God continues to do. And that moment just absolutely broke me. And I think generally that's been my experience. When I thank God for what he did, it breaks me every single time. So they're just three things that I got from that piece of scripture. And I just, as I continue, want to be able to thank God every single day. I want to realize that thankfulness never stops, that it propels me into the future, that it'll position me for relationship, and that when I thank God, it'll restore my faith in him.